Welcome to What's Left, a weekly political discussion challenging the mainstream left. I'm Eduardo Barca, with teacher and socialist Andy Lipson and community organizer, fellow socialist Kenny Cepeda. Today we'll be discussing the new documentary called Planet of the Humans, executively produced by Michael Moore and as well as done by filmmaker Jeff Gibbs. And we will see where this goes because it's very interesting. And I think it relates a lot to how we do things here on What's Left, which is debating issues that are on the left. However, if I may just, before we discuss today's topic, I would like to remind folks that we are online at what-s-left.webnode.com. You can find this and any additional information on the episode notes. If you like what we are doing here, please subscribe, rate, review, and share your favorite episode wherever you found this episode. Thanks. So, on to the discussion. All right, Planet of the Humans. what did you both think of it? I don't know. I mean, how do we start this?
I enjoyed the movie. I mean, I did find it interesting, and I think it's an important what they're putting out politically. While there are some things that I felt like, particularly around this population stuff, that they distance themselves from those lines, but it's in the movie, you know. I think it's an important contribution to the questions raised by the environmental movement, specifically. Can we technology our way out of this issue? You know, which I think is challenged by the framework of this movie. So I think it must be doing something right because liberals are losing their minds and getting mad about it and wanting to like shut it down. In particular, people who, so that in of itself says there's probably something they're doing right because they're like, you know, saying that they're passing things over to the right wing and to the fossil fuel industry and things like that. So we'll get into that, but I actually think it's an important, like this stuff has to happen. There has to be debates over which way we're going.
Yeah. Planet of the Humans is a documentary that I think is much needed today that needs to happen on the left, the debate. And when we started this YouTube channel, What's Left, we discussed the reasons why, and I'm just going to reiterate some of those points just for some of the new listeners and viewers, that it's because you've actually given me this, you've invited me to think about this, Andy, where on the right, people seem to have more discussions and debates, and there isn't this sort of arrogance, this attack on people for different alternative ideas on the right. And on the left, we sort of chew each other up. We kill off people, cancel out in cancel culture.
Yeah.
If there's anything controversial, and you just, it's a very hostile environment to talk about anything, whether that be about political privilege, racism, environmentalism, whatever. And I think we're witnessing here with this documentary how much the leftists cannot tolerate any alternative viewpoints or criticism from within their own community. And so I really encourage people to see it. I have some criticisms that we'll delve into later, but for sure, the conversations are shut down on the left if you don't align yourself with liberal progressive ideas. And I think that is what we are trying to do here, the three of us, even when we friendly debate each other, we challenge ourselves so that we can try to have those and sustain those conversations and hopefully model those conversations for folks, because it's very, very threatening to have those conversations.
I mean, I think that, just to jump off your point, that on the left, you know, often, you know, it seems that the moral high ground is come from the point that, you know, they know science, so they know some facts. And obviously, this is being challenged by this movie, you know, that, you know, what they thought was, you know, something good, something well-meaning, something, you know, the solution is in fact, you know, maybe more capitalism. You know, it's just capitalism doing what it does, you know, reinventing itself and just putting a more makeup or a new, you know, a new coat of paint on. But fundamentally, you know, I do want to mention that if maybe someone hasn't watched the movie, they can see it on YouTube for free, right?
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Penny, for that.
Maybe they could, you know, go watch that and come back to the conversation, because it is very interesting. But I don't know, how do you want to proceed now?
Yeah. I should mention, now that you said that, Kenny, that there was some media source that was some platform that was trying to censor, not trying to have it on their platform because it was very controversial.
Right.
So many folks on the left that advocate for renewable energy sources were trying to shut it down. And I think that is not the way we want to go, especially since we are always an advocate for freedom of speech, so to speak. I think that's what we're trying to do, no?
Yeah, one of the things, in addition to saying, oh, that to talk about how it, there were some people, they were trying to get it to restrict availability. This guy, I heard Josh Fox is a critic of it. He wasn't actually mentioning the movie. He's not criticizing it. But his framework, obviously, because he disagrees with the framework of the movie. And I think he's actually collaborated with Michael Moore before. But he was like, he had said that he had specifically said, I want you to retract these certain points, you know, before you publish it. And I'm glad they didn't. Like, you know, it's like they're all afraid, you know, and this is the same thing in the union movement. It's the same thing on the left. Everyone's afraid that if we air our dirty laundry, if we have this these differences, that the right wing and the capitalists are going to take advantage. The capitalists are going to take advantage of us no matter what. It's their society, right? The only thing way we can do that is by fighting back. And to have that, to have a sincere fight, we have to know what's real and what's not. And that's going to mean a debate on the left, which is going to be difficult, which the capitalists will take advantage of our they're taking advantage of our ignorance. The lack of debate actually keeps us in a place of ignorance and unable to deal with the real challenges we're facing. So we can see, like, you know, how the liberals have gone for censorship and helped Facebook and Google censor us more. Look what's happening now. Now they're going to collect all our data on us, and now they're going to surveil us even more. Now they're going to restrict what we can say about stuff even more. So there has to be an open, free, an open airing of ideas. And some of these ideas I'm not going to agree with, but I need to hear them. Well, I'll leave it at that.
And didn't you just have an incident recently on Facebook where you were censored? Or, you know, like in some way, you know, you're
Yeah. Like I posted a thing by a person who was basically saying that the U.S. state was taking advantage of the pandemic and had proof about that, and was using it to build surveillance and things like that. And they were saying, like, they took it off as spam because I was trying to get likes for that, and it was just, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. And I've had that issue before, actually, on Facebook, where I was using certain words. And I noticed, you know, that they would, the message of, oops, something went wrong, would constantly happen. And they started censoring some articles I would share. So I just stopped using Facebook. And, you know, at least on Instagram, there's a little more, like, less censorship, I guess. Yeah. But even then, you know, and the stories go beyond. But back to the movie, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about what, so we all kind of liked elements of this movie. Maybe each of us should talk about what were some of the elements that you thought were most important. Maybe that we do agree with. I think there are things in the movie that I do agree with. So maybe we can talk about some of those elements and just share what those were. And then I think get to a criticism of the things we have troubles with in the movie.
I mean, if you have to pick one, I guess it's just this notion that maybe, again, the terms are not correct, but the notion that green energy still needs the backup of fossil fuel energy. And, you know, one argument they made in the film was that, you know, they still need to have, like, engines idling on the side, because restarting and starting again is actually very wasteful in terms of energy. So renewables, what they call, you know, we call renewables, are not, you know, a silver bullet that is going to solve everything, you know. And obviously, you know, the technology can advance, but yeah, I'll start with that one, and then we can maybe touch on another point. I don't know.
Yeah. Aurora, should I go or you want to go?
Yeah, well, I wanted to maybe continue on what Kenny was saying about renewable energy. Do you,
Well, can we, before, okay.
Or,
you want to ask him questions?
Huh?
You want to ask him questions?
No, I think I agree with, like, I thought maybe, because that was a point I had as well.
Okay.
That renewable energy is something that I myself will admit that I have fallen into the trap believing that that is something of an alternative, something that could save us as a human species, thinking that that would be the way for us to go. And I had, before this documentary, had heard that even renewable energy sources have some flaws, but this documentary really confirmed a lot of the things, really took me and made me really start looking up other things online about renewable source and energy sources. And I was dismayed to read a lot about how it is very, very, it has also another, it has another footprint as well.
Yeah.
That devastates and is, has an impact on the planet. And it made me somewhat disheartened. So I do feel, though, I did read that the renewable energy sources are improving, and some of the things that Jeff Gibbs, the filmmaker, was referring to were sort of outdated a little bit, about 10 years, 2008. Some things were, like, the solar energy source that he was talking about 20 years and stuff. The solar energy source, actually, or wind energy, rather, excuse me.
Yeah.
It has improved, but still, you still have to get a lot of those materials, mine them,
right,
and right. And still, even if you're going to store this energy, you have to then mine for batteries. What is that? Metal lithium.
Lithium, yeah.
Lithium. So, you can't. What is there? Nuclear energy, which is look at what happened to Japan or Japan with that. What do you want to have something like that and then have it get wasted into the water? I mean, wind energy is, you have to store it with lithium, no? So where are you going to store it? Solar, we don't actually, I realize, don't have a very good solar panel systems unless you work for NASA. That's what they were saying. It's very expensive to get quality solar panels. And fossil fuels, we already know the story with that. Biomass is supposedly to take on the residues like wood chips and stuff like that, or ethanol, of residue of leftover from agriculture, or leftover residue from the woods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's not what's happening when you have biomass. You actually have people cutting down trees, and you actually have agriculture, which also uses fossil fuels. And agriculture is also very detrimental to the environment. And what's next after fossil fuels and biomass? We have fracking and clean gas. I mean, all of these have an impact on the environment. So renewable energy sources, now I'm considering if they should even be labeled renewable energy sources. It's very problematic with all of these, you know, we have here. So so just touching on what Kenny was saying with renewable energy sources, I feel now and maybe I'm going ahead of myself, what is the solution for the way that we function as a society? We do need some reliable energy source. But let's not delve into that now. I'm just putting it there first, and we'll delve into it. So I'm just, because Kenny was bringing up renewable energy sources, that's what comes to mind when I think of all of that.
Yeah. And I thought that, for me, it was illuminating. Like, I think there are people who can say, oh, the technology is advanced. But I actually think it's a very important thing to remind ourselves that even with the development of solar panels or windmills, that there's all sorts of fossil fuel uses that have to be brought into the footprint that makes. in order to get the materials together, right? So, like, if, and the fact that those things last 10, 20 years, they got to be rebuilt again, you know? And without, and the mining that has to be done for some of the, like, the quartz, they were saying, oh, solar panels made out of sand. Well, it's coal and quartz that have to be combined together. And so, okay, that's interesting. I mean, I just feel like that we need to know that kind of stuff, because that's the world that we're going to have to build. Like, if we're going to have a socialist society, we have to know how the world is constructed. We have to know how our energy is produced. We have to make decisions about that balance between needing energy for the things that we need and not using it as much energy because we have to live on the we have to live on the planet. And I think one of the things that was also really striking in this was how much the Goldman Sachs and Toyota and these various companies, Citibank, all and the Koch brothers had already got their fingers knee deep into all these processes, and were basically getting government subsidies to develop. They're part of the whole Green New Deal. Like, the Green New Deal is a great deal for the capitalists. That's what it looks like. These capitalists are knee deep in these technologies and are planning on combining their development with their control of the fossil fuel industry. And they plan on using these. They're looking for ways to maximize profits, to get government subsidies. And it's technology, again, this is why I think that they do mention the thing, a critique of capitalism, and you do have to talk about it, but it exposes that, I believe, it exposes underneath how we're not going to be able to technology our way out of this situation. This is a systemic problem. This isn't one that a given technology is going to be able to solve for us. We are going to have to fundamentally change the way society is structured in order to get a handle on it. And that message, I think that message exposes not just all these Sierra Club, 350 Group, whatever, Greta Thunberg and her love of capitalism.
She's not a part of it, though. No, I like her.
She should have been. Yeah.
She was not mentioned.
It will be. Give her 10 years.
Anyway, but really, the people who've been most critical of this have said how the new technology and with the Green New Deal, we're going to be able to accomplish this. And that's a complete lie. And they just want to be able to continue with that lie. And Michael Moore and Jeff Gibbs and Ozzie Zehner, at one level, their movie is exposing it in part as a lie. I do believe Michael Moore and Jeff Gibbs actually also do believe the lie, but at least they produced a movie which doesn't support it. But I'll say more about that later.
I was a bit surprised Michael Moore would allow Jeff Gibbs to go after Bill McKibben. I mean, they're actually, I thought they were within the same circles of friends. You know, them, Amy Goodman, sort of Bill McKibben, Cornel West, they're all sort of in the same circles before Todd Smiley. You know, they're just, I think it's all right. Maybe he should have called them before. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not going to go into interpersonal relationships. But I will say that some of those interviews I did look, they're quite old. And Bill McKibben has come out in 2016 saying that he notices that there are criticisms, like, that he sees how biomass is actually not very sustainable. Right. So just to be fair, I think it's also not fair to... You can, even here, we make mistakes on what's left, and you can't be held accountable to something that maybe you had believed in the past. And then, if you change it and you sort of evolve politically, I think that you should be allowed to change and understand and say, "Yeah, I made a mistake. I will say that this is where I was wrong with this."
But I think it's the difference between saying some stuff and helping build a whole system. You know, and he was building a whole system based on information that even in the video they showed when he was starting out with his foundation or whatever, he was trying to hide the fact of where the money was coming from.
Yes.
So he knew he was lying, you know. So I don't, like, yes, of course, in retrospective, we all make mistakes, but there's a huge difference in what you're trying to build, you know, and then obviously you can retract yourself later. And he has helped build that, and he made a decent amount of money, I'm sure.
Do you both think that if he, I don't know now who are his funders, but if he has clean funders,
he doesn't. Both, 350 is not. Was already talked about. There's even connection to the banks, to Goldman Sachs that they were talking about.
Right, I forgot.
He doesn't. So it's not an if. These people are all knee deep in the top levels of capitalist. Like, and what they are is they are the front men for the Koch brothers. They're the front men for Goldman Sachs. And
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I get it. I mean, they expose that when they're like Naomi Klein came after him after Bill Michael Moore for this movie, because all of them have their hopes in this Green New Deal thing, and this Green New Deal is a capitalist hoax. And it's, in fact, the Green New Deal is going to be the way, to the extent that it's enacted, it's going to be the way that capital gets greater control of society, greater control of nature, and uses it as a commodity for capitalist competition. And that is actually written into the damn thing. In terms of, it's not the Green New Deal created by the Green Party, which is saying we're going to cut military spending. This one's saying we're going to use it by using the Federal Reserve money. We're going to use it for entrepreneurship to be competitive in the modern economy of today. We're going to be able to, you know, compete our way into a great new green society, and it's a complete fraud. And this is the thing that they want to hold up. And people like Naomi Klein and Josh Fox want to hold on to that, and they're pissed that Michael Moore has a movie which exposes their thing, even though Michael Moore himself is still a Democratic Party supporter, and I do believe supports the Green New Deal.
My understanding is that Joe Fox and Naomi Klein are not necessarily, I think that they are more afraid that the people might lose their motivation to continue the struggle, the fight in the environmental movement. And
can, I read this, you a, can I read you a quote from Josh Fox?
Go ahead, yeah.
The film trades rather...
This is Josh Fox, no?
Josh Fox.
This is not Naomi Klein.
But they're all together because Josh Fox quoted Naomi Klein. They're all together on this bullshit. The film trades rather deceitfully on fossil fuel industry tropes about renewable energy, namely that they don't work and that they're dependent on fossil fuels and they're inefficient. All these things are blatantly untrue. Any renewable energy scientist, climate scientist, or proponent of the Green New Deal would know this. And this is what he's trying to get at. And he did it in his interview with The Hill. The biggest thing he was saying is that all these falsehoods undermine and threaten the underpinnings of the Green New Deal, which is what they're pinning getting rid of Trump on, what they're pinning the future of their society on. These fools believe capitalism can get us out of this. And in fact, that was another critique they had to Michael Moore, which is, if you make this problem so big, no one will want to take it on. And the problem is big, it's capitalism. Even though I think Michael Moore doesn't even believe that, even though his movie says it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, the capitalist reformists, that, you know, like you just said, Lipson, they believe that we can capital the way out of this stuff. Even though it's the same forces that have led us to the world where we're heading, you know, just masking and, again, painting, you know, putting Whole Foods, selling you asparagus water for $10, you know, telling you that's good for you. You know, I don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how much whether they really believe this stuff, but the fact that, you know, there are certain forces, nefarious forces behind this, you know, the Green New Deal and all these new industry that they're creating, that should give you a pause.
Yeah.
In a socialist society, you have to have an energy source. What would a socialist, according to you, to as socialists...
Let's save that because I want to get to the criticisms of this, but I do want to come back to that. I want to come back to
that. Because I feel like because we both are talking about the Green New Deal, and I have criticisms about the Green New Deal, right? And right, we won't delve into it now, but I'm just saying because it was the Green New Deal was mentioned, this is popping up in my head. So I have criticisms of it. I also think that how do you cold turkey stop, just turn off fossil fuels? Or you know, what would be the energy source for a new society? We'll go into that. That's in the back.
But let's be clear. The Green New Deal, as written by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has nothing to do with protecting the environment. Can we talk a little bit about the Green New Deal? Can we talk about
it's a transition.
It's not even a transition. It's an escalation of the capitalist attack on the environment. Here's, first of all, number one, it is the Green New Deal is not a plan. It's a plan for a plan. What the Green New Deal is basically saying Nancy Pelosi, the We'll put together a 15-person panel. Six of those people will be decided by the minority party, the Republican Party. The other nine will be Nancy Pelosi's people. And what are they going to do? This is an exact quote. The Green New Deal's goal is to promote economic security, labor market flexibility, and entrepreneurism through new jobs and the FDR and all that kind of stuff. That's the language they're using. This is the language of the state preparing itself as a competitor to China, the competitor to Europe, and it follows this in line. It is a plan for capitalist production, and it puts it under a green guise. But the fact is business has their hands all in this stuff. Oil companies have their hands all in this stuff, and they know it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez knows it. The Democratic Party is Joe Biden. It's Nancy Pelosi. It's big industry. So the Green New Deal is a deal for how to put United States, how to give United States green cover for projecting its capitalist interests. That's all.
Yeah, and I think in a way too, just to kind of connect how we started about, you know, talking about the left, you know, this is essentially a way to capture the energy of the somewhat, you know, more radical people on the left. Into again the same system of voting, you know, and getting votes for the Democrats, and you know, and run their type of capitalism. So, yeah, to me, it's snake oil at the end of the day, you know. And this again further shows how much of Ocasio-Cortez and people like Bernie Sanders are frauds, because they're behind this shit. They've been pushing this. They've been the biggest proponents. And Ocasio-Cortez made a career in politics out of this, actually, the Green New Deal.
Yeah, And the Democratic Party is attempting to resurrect itself along that thing. And this is where people like to me, like, this is where Michael Moore falls down, though, is because he puts out something that's about capitalism. We haven't got to the population part, because I do believe that underneath this thing is like, well, we've got to get a hold of population. I think that's in there. They combine it with consumption as well. And I think there's something to be said for that. That really is an issue about capitalism. Capitalism has no way of containing consumption. Capitalism is based on trying to push consumption and production to its limits. That's the system of capitalism. So it's about pushing production to its limits. So it's got to get consumption to grab as much as possible. So I agree that the capitalist system is attempting to promote as much consumption as it can to chase down the infinite production that is the capitalist dream. You know, that the drive for profit, you know, pushes these capitalist centers to make. I do believe there's a problem with the population stuff that was put in there. But Michael Moore still supports Joe Biden. He still supports the Democratic Party. He can't on one hand say, and I do believe Jeff Gibbs too, you can't on one hand say, capitalism is the issue, but go vote for Joe Biden against Trump. You're done. You have no credibility for saying that once you say that. Like, then you don't think capitalism is the problem if you really are saying that. So in that regard, Michael Moore is also a kind of fraud. But I will say in this case, the piece of art that they produce that's political, that has a value to it that's inherent, never, even though the producers of it have no idea that they themselves are being hypocrites when they support the Democratic Party. Because if you support the Democratic Party, then you are not, then you support capitalist destruction of the environment.
And as well, there's something to say about his criticism about Bill McKibben and 350 and Sierra Club's funders. But I would like to look into who funded some of his past films, funded some of his past projects as well, because I don't think he's very he can come out with that being very cleanly out himself.
And I think these things probably come from the mindset that you can take dirty money and clean it up. You know, basically, I do think there's some people that believe in reforming capitalism. They think they can just redirect that, you know, evil money and make something good out of it. But it's obviously not the case, you know, and we have plenty of evidence that that's not possible. And I think that's what makes me, for example, a revolutionary rather than a reformist. You know, any way you look, any angle you take, capitalism has a grip and it needs to die. You know, in the profit, incentive has to be removed completely. If we're not aiming for that, then you know we have a death sentence. And you know, and we believe in these illusions that we can contain this or we can reform it in some way.
Yeah. One thing I want to point out, that Jeff Gibbs did write a response about people who were saying, who criticized them around their population control thing. He wrote this, and it's in an FAQ he put out about the movie. He wrote, "We would never use the words population control. We despise coercive population control. Further, we believe it's unethical to talk about population without talking about consumption, economic growth, and capitalism. It's true that the expansion of our human numbers and our level of first world consumption has been and remains the prime driver of this human-caused extinction event. Our human numbers have doubled in the past 50 years, while our economic activity has quadrupled, and as a consequence, life on Earth has been in precipitous decline." So those are him speaking after the movie's over. I will say that the people who criticize the movie for dipping its finger into the Malthusian population control argument are right. They are right that that movie is doing that. The movie does that. The movie edges into saying, "Hey, we got to bring the numbers down. The number of people, too many people, too many people." They don't say who's got to go. They don't say, "Well, where are we going to start reducing? And what on what corner of the planet are we going to start eliminating folks?" You know.
Do you both see it?
Okay. It never. That's one of the problems I have with this film. You know, my biggest criticism is that topic, right? Population control. That it kind of mentions it, leaves it hanging in the background, never really addresses that question. And you know, like a lot of statisticians, or at least the projections of population in the world, show that by 2100, the population is gonna settle at around 11 billion. Because right now we've reached peak children, like children at, you know, about 2 billion children in the world are born, and that number sustains, and, you know, and people are living a little longer. So these projections show that, you know, yes, there will be some more growth, but we're going to, you know, head towards 11 billion. But most of the growth is going to come from Asia and Africa. So when we're talking about population control and reducing, you know, we're talking about getting them in line. You know, so there are undertones of, you know, Malthusian thinking, obviously, that, you know, like basically the virus, you know, we should let it. Some people might think, okay, that's nature. You know, it's killing people off and we probably need to, you know, and because we're not going to do it ourselves, you know, maybe the weakest should die, you know, implicit in there. And also, you know, but again, this is, if we're talking about population control, we cannot get away from the fact that we're going to have to, if we want to do that, you know, in that way, the way, you know, that's more nefarious and, like, you know, top down. You have to, you know, talk about Africa and Asia. But then, you know, we also don't, again, they fail to address that education and, you know, and better health and birth control and all this stuff, you know, lower birth rates. Yeah. You know, and in fact, birth rates are lower than, you know, they're about two per person in the world, you know, and there's a lot of ignorance too. Like, I saw this documentary, I'll probably link it in the notes, but that a lot of educated people, when you ask them, you know, what do you think the birth rate is in Southeast Asia and things like that? They think, oh, like 5 or 6. And in reality, they're about the same as the Western, 2 or 3, mm-hmm. You know? And so there's a lot of arrogance and ignorance from the so-called educated people, you know, that think that everyone, you know, in the poor countries are just having, you know, a bunch of babies. And again, it comes back to capitalism and resource allocation, you know, and who has power and control to, you know, give education, give healthcare, give birth control in the people that have access to that. And everything is driven by profit. You know, that is the solution that they want to double down on, you know, the reformists that,
right.
You know, we just got to capitalize the way out of this.
Do you both, do you both acknowledge that population is growing at a very fast rate, though?
Not as much now. I mean,
you don't think that population, I mean, the numbers are there, but the population is increasing very fast.
Not as much as it used to. It blew up over a period of time, maybe in the last decade or two, but it's actually slowing its increase. I've even heard models that are more concerned about population collapse. There are models where people are concerned about things like that, but I'm not a person that just said it's like, oh, it's going to be exponential the whole time. I don't. And I agree.
Well, I'm not talking about the whole time, but it has it not increased?
Yeah, it has.
Very fast rates, though.
It did, obviously, after the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
You know, no doubt capitalism, you know, increased the caloric intake, you know, per person in the world, yeah. Whatever. You know, health did improve. You know, I'm not denying some of these things, you know, but at the same time, you know, because capitalism has led us to this, you know, direction we're going. And, you know, some people call ascending capitalism, and this is latter stage capitalism, you know, terminology. But yeah, I mean, population is still growing. It's still going to grow. But we have to look again at the numbers and the data. And it's just find it funny that sometimes, you know, people are selective about these things or omitting these things, you know, but like Lipson said, we need a full picture. We need to be honest, you know, like you said, a lot of population, like in Europe, is declining. Italy is not having babies. Japan, there is more diapers in the stores, adult diapers than kid diapers. You know, Japan also, who's looked at as a model capitalist nation, you know, because they have this, you know, symbiotic relationship of old culture and capitalism. They have such big, deep problems. Suicide rate is huge. You know, old people commit crime just to be taken care of, you know, because, yeah. You know, the kids are not being born. There's a lot of issues because they're also hyper-technological, and the interpersonal relations are, you know, all sort of fucking all over the place. So
you both do acknowledge that there is a population spurt.
It's grown, like, it's not growing as quickly now as it has in the past, and I don't know where it's...
But it did grow ever since, I forget since what year it grew,
yeah.
There was a hike.
There was a period of exponential population growth, I believe, or
yes.
Pretty dramatic population growth during some period, yes. That has never been the planet's problem, or the human's problem has been too many people. The problem has been how we've organized society, that's what I would say.
And I would also say that on this term, you know, on this topic of population, they want to make it seem that population alone is the biggest polluter. You know, the people are just by consuming certain things. But, I mean, and so that's what we engage on consumer side politics, that if we just purchase, and if we teach them, a lesson, these companies, they'll learn. The fact is that they don't have an incentive to do better. You know, we're still flying on, like, 1960s technology, you know, like, people don't realize it's like 50 years old, you know, and so obviously this has repercussions as to, you know, the places we invade, you know, the way we want to take over other markets and stuff. But so at the end of the day, it goes back to the means of production and who has control to change that, you know, and who has incentive to change that, you know, to your point earlier about technology. Like, I don't think technology is bad, but under capitalism, it's dangerous. You know, technology under the grip of the capitalists is dangerous because they're not in the business of bettering life. It was, you know, to some extent, to some degree, you know, a byproduct, but their main goal is profit. And they won't stop until they can get it anymore.
And it's important to remember that the development of technologies has never really been about human need. The development of the technologies we've developed under capitalism have been not just put at the service, but that's been the bent of why they've been made. They've been made to maximize profit, made to maximize capital's control over labor. So we have to understand that even the types of things we have developed, our whole use of science is a capitalist tool. You know, it is not a neutral tool. It's not just like this neutral thing. It's actually a capitalist tool to control nature, to control labor, and to make sure capital has control over all. That's what we're seeing now, even with the internet.
Yeah, one thing that I always like to kind of point out that helps me think of this is, you know, like Edison versus Tesla. You know, like Tesla had superior knowledge and technology, and he didn't survive because he wasn't a good capitalist. You know, and so we have, you know, Edison technology everywhere, right? And in we're rediscovering, you know, Tesla's inventions and other people, who knows, you know, but you have to be a good capitalist for your technology to survive, you know, and it actually, I think that capitalism impedes technology that's beneficial to humanity.
I would agree with that.
You know, like the oil industry doesn't have a necessity to get away from oil. So technology in itself is not bad. You know, technology in the hands of capitalism is dangerous. That's my point.
Can I just, well, the other thing I wanted, you said something, who said it, either Andy or Kenny, were about you. You said it about Italy, Kenny, about Europe. Europe's birth rates are declining, but what about Africa's? Because they are the highest in the world.
Yeah.
So I do you both acknowledge that the poorest countries do have the highest rates of birth rates?
I mean, maybe, but so what?
So tell me what you're going to do about that. I just want to know if you, because I
think we need to, I think.
I'm trying to make a point here, and I'm trying to be very sensitive around it. And if I may, because it could be very threatening for me to even say what I'm going to say. And if we're trying to encourage open discussion.
You are right.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to find the words. Forgive me if I'm delaying here a bit.
Yeah.
And then I want the attacks after the right words come out. So, so I'm trying to find the words here, right?
Yeah.
Because it's Google Public.
Yeah.
So you both acknowledge that there was growth in population after Industrial Revolution and after especially medicine and technology have wonderful logros, achievements. And you both acknowledge that the poor have the highest birth rates, correct?
Yep. There are times when poverty can be an incentive for like, particularly if the only way, like one of the things that when you're poor, I've even heard that you have more kids because you're going to deal with the fact that some of your kids aren't going to survive. And that promotes.
Well, I mean, even immigrants have the highest birth rates. No, I have here, I knew that I was going to say, but that's why I have Scientific America right here in front of me. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't say something that was not going to be. It says here, Europe's fertility rate between 2005 and 2010 was just 1.53 live birth per woman. But without immigration, Europe's population would already be shrinking. And that immigration fuels population in numbers because immigrants have some of the highest birth rates than other people that are from those countries. And so
there is some truth to that, you know, that agriculture.
Yeah, I just want to, before I state what I want to state, I want to be sure where we agree first, so that I can then state the next.
The closest you are to, agricultural arrangement, you know, you have an incentive. My grandmother had like 9 kids, you know, they were, you know, in that world, but now, like, the numbers in Latin America, for example, they've, I guess in more industrial areas in the main cities, it is way lower. You know, I don't have kids. I'm an immigrant. You know, like, so yes, if you compare them to Europe.
You don't individually, but statistically, immigrants do have the highest rates.
But it's not 5, it's not 6 per person. When you look at the average, it's not that. And so I'm curious to where your point is going.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I just first wanted to lay first the facts before I acknowledge, because I don't want to argue where we. So first, and then I do personally think that there is an overpopulation problem, but I personally would not go choose that route to look at for a population control, because if we leave it in the hands of the capitalist governments, dictators, leadership, there would be, what's that thing called when treason or at the hospital when you're...
Triaging.
There would be triaging. There sort of a eugenics style sort of way to determine who lives and who doesn't. So I do think that the overpopulation thing should be tackled, but not tackled in the way of a racist approach. I think it should be about education, as Kenny, I think you mentioned it, and education and good healthcare and services, and also changing the system that we live in, because in a capitalist system, the people would be left out. It's a very hard topic for me to talk about.
I don't think,
but I would like you both to say something about it. I do not advocate for population control.
Yeah.
But I do acknowledge that there is a hike in population growth, and having conversations around that isn't about sterilizing women. For me, it's not about that. But it is, this planet and the resources we have are just, there isn't a lot that we can, even if we have a socialist society. I just, it's just massively, how do you take care of people in this way?
Do you think there are enough resources for the population of the world as it stands right now?
That's why I think consumerism is where we tackle next, because it depends if we are even in a socialist society, there is a free for all just consumption, a culture, consumer culture, then no, there is not enough in this planet to hold billions and billions of people. But that's why I'm curious what a socialist society will look like, because the planet is not able to sustain so many people. That is just, it's just not possible. And no matter where you look at it, from what angle, billions of people. That's why I think it's tied to consumer culture. The consumerism that exists and is pervasive just is not going to be able to allow for this planet to continue going on. Things take time, they're slow, and at the rates that we are going, it's just impossible for the planet to keep up with the rate of the consumerist.
But who drives that consumerism? You know,
that's why I said, in a socialist society, would there be those limits? Would people have those limits? Because you're right, this consumerism is largely profit-driven, right? Because you have to sell things, you have to try to incentivize profit-driven incentives so that people can buy, so that people can get rich. I understand that. But in a socialist society, would there be limits? Because some people would then call that dictatorship. And, I'm just trying to figure this one out. And I consider myself to be an anti-capitalist. And I cannot say I'm a socialist to the extent that you both say it. So I'm struggling to find this. And just, it's just that the poor do have the highest numbers of babies.
And why do they?
And the reason why is that because of the lack of resources and the lack of services and the lack of education.
It goes back to survival, because they have to make a living. And they, you know, if you are an agricultural worker, you know, you have
that's
to
everywhere
have...
is agriculture, even in cities, it has been
there's
noticed.
A difference between the cities and the countryside.
So even in cities, it's not just rural. More people live in cities than in rural areas on the planet. I'm looking at this study here from Scientific America, and I saw your points to that end as well, Kenny, where people do have children because they're trying to survive in a rural area. But most people today live in cities. And still, there is, because of poverty, and there is...
What about these areas where you're saying that the population growth is going to come from? Are there mainly industrial places? Africa, you know, the parts of Asia that's going to, you know, see this? Because, what...
Depends how you define industrial. I mean, I would think that South Africa is a very industrial country. Yeah.
I just think, like, again, I actually think this has been a waste of a time. Like, the last 15 minutes has been a waste of time, because population has nothing to do with the problems we currently face. We don't face a population problem. We face a capitalism problem.
I agree.
No, you don't agree, because you keep coming back to population, and population has nothing to do with our system.
I said I'm looking at it from the consumerist culture in population.
But then you keep talking about these kids in Africa or these children in Asia that are thinking about our consumers. I'm saying that you're misidentifying the problem. Like it is, we are not struggling with a population problem. We are struggling with a capitalism problem, and that capitalism problem is centered around the capitalists, and it's centered around the capitalist nations that support that system. It's centered around the people who support the Green New Deal. The world is far more threatened. Hold on.
Yeah.
The world is 1,000 times more threatened by supporters of Green New Deal than 1 million kids in Africa. Yeah. Can you say that again? The world is 1,000 times more threatened with human extinction by the collective supporters of the Green New Deal than 1 million kids or 1 million children or 10 million children being born in Africa. That is the problem we are facing that we will have to take on. We don't have an African children problem. We have a Green New Deal U.S. capitalism problem. And that's what we have to contend with. Children in Africa, children in Asia, children in South America, children in the United States, all are going to be screwed unless we contend with what the adults are doing, not the newly born children. And not just the adults who happen to be having children. I'm talking about the adults who control capital, who control the means of production, and who organize the state to make sure they get more and more of that. They are prepared to lead us to war. They are prepared to make sure that we continue to produce and produce and produce, and they have to hypnotize us with a consumption mindset in order to make sure that system is promoted. They don't give a shit about Africa because unless that kid becomes a consumer, they don't care. You become dispensable and disposable. So to even talk about them as a problem, unfortunately, just one, it lets off the real criminals, and they don't care about them. Eduardo, the reality is that those people are part of the solution. They're part of what's internationally going to have to be constructed so we have a new kind of society that can be brought under human control again. Because this system is not under human control. It benefits the capitalists, but what largely describes it is capitalist anarchy, capitalist competition. And that's what's driving this. So there's nothing to be discussed about population because there's no number you can reach that makes it safe. We can be 100 billion, we can be 50 billion, we can be 5 billion. The world is a threat to us all as long as we keep capitalism.
Yeah. I think in my defense, I will just try to clear up what I am saying, whether people want to take it however which way, so that I hopefully am not mischaracterized. So I will state it this way, and this is what I am trying to say. And again, I'm looking the best way to frame this. So I apologize if my words are not there and I'm struggling to find it. And still, then, I welcome the criticism from both of you because I think it's a valid criticism. I will state that this, I personally do not believe that this planet can sustain the consumerist culture that is pervasive in the capitalist society, and I'm curious what it would look like in a socialist society.
Yeah,
and given the population growth that exists currently and the consumer culture that we have currently, that this planet will not be able to sustain us, and there will not, energy sources, the planet is simply just not able to sustain human population with the growth rate and the consumerist culture that exists at a current state.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess last point on this topic, the population, it's like I agree with Lipson, you know, these kids that are going to be born are going to be part of the solution in the sense that they're not consumers yet, you know, and, you know, even if it's 1 million kids, you know, like we are part of, you know, the industrialized world, we dictate the rules, you know, the U.S. empire. So it brings up even more of a necessity to have a revolution, you know, in this place, you know, to change things. You know, because yeah. Revolutions, as we know historically, they don't happen from agricultural societies. It doesn't. There is insurrection of some sort, but, you know, we have plenty of examples that show you that that's not where it's going to happen. because they get choked away. We are the chokers. So the what leads to that is capitalism in the world, in the where the power lies.
Yeah, and I want to be clear that I do not agree with population control in the hands of governments or any leadership style for them to decide who lives and who does not. I do think that we have to look at a way to educate people to sort of give them access than a life around children. The ideas, cultural ideas that we have, it will not be sustainable alongside the consumerist culture that we currently have. It just doesn't fit together. It cannot, it's not able, this planet is not able to sustain both at the same time. You cannot be the consumerist that we are today and still have family values of reproducing, not because you are, you know, just, we, it's just they can't go, they're outdated views. And I think we have to look at the way we're evolving and we're, the way that we are now into and see the facts. And the reality is we have, the population growth has had a very,
you know,
huge hike.
The funny thing is that, you know, I guess we keep going on this and Lipson is suffering, other, but the reality is that the people that have the least children are the most destructive because they live in the most destructive society.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yes, you are. You're thinking that there's a problem over there. Eduardo, hold on. Stop. You have to stop. You just talked. You went on and on and on about some nonsense.
That's not what I am saying.
I'm sorry, Eduardo. You're going to have to stop. Listen.
Yeah.
You just talked about we have to educate them. You're wrong. The only education that the people who need to be educated is the working class of the United States about taking on their capitalist class. That is it. The only education we need, we don't need to educate them an iota. We have nothing to teach them short of how to make a revolution. We have nothing to teach them about having
what
kids.
What did you think
or,
my
stop,
education
stop.
Was?
Can you just stop for a second?
What, the curriculum was what?
No, but I'm just telling you. You said we have to educate them about having kids, about, you know,
I did not say about having kids. I said education.
No, then
in
no.
General, I was saying
yes,
education
here, this
is one
the
way
the only
that
thing we
out.
Educate them in is how to take down your ruling class. That is the only education
I,
we have to offer.
That's on the curriculum. I'm for it.
Well, secondly, we have nothing to offer them other than solidarity. That's it. Solidarity and education about taking on a ruling class. Beyond that, there is no education we can offer them. That's it. There's
like
no education
said,
about kids.
I was not,
there's no education about birth control. There's no education about having too many kids. That's not
I
the education
not,
we need to give them.
That's not what I was talking about when I said education. I was talking about education, whether that be academics.
Not academics.
Or, excuse me, hold on. It would be, or educating them about our system and how to overtake the system. That is fine on the curriculum. But I was not talking specifically about educating, in this case,
in
women
regard,
or men about
agree.
Just
if what you want to do
overpopulation.
Is educate
I
people in Africa and South America about red-making revolution.
Beyond the cultural family values of just having children.
What's that have to do? What does having children have to do with making revolution? There's nothing. It's complete. Nothing has nothing to do with it. It's a non sequitur. What I'm saying is them having, I don't care whether they have children or not. Make a revolution. Have 20 kids, have 2 kids. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't, that doesn't change the problem in society. The problem exists with our capitalists.
I agree.
You're getting all bent up about whether they have 20 kids or 2 or 0. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to the problems we're facing in society. And you getting caught up in it means you don't understand the real problems are.
I stated that I agree with you. So I think you don't understand my points.
They don't make any sense to me. Yeah, they have nothing to do with taking down capitalism.
I said that with the current consumerist culture that we have and the birth rate that we have, this planet will not sustain us.
So if you want to get down to why do we have this consumer society, if you will,
I
in the United
said
States?
As well, I agree that it's because of capitalism, but I would like
what
now
about
for
capitalism
both of you
makes it, what about
to tell
capitalism
me
produces
if there would
consumer...
be a limit on consumerism as well. I would like to know that.
Yeah, what about capitalism makes it a consumer society? What about it makes it a consumer society? Why? Why does capitalism need consumerism?
Right, it's profits. There are profits that drive this.
It's not about profits. I mean, yes, It's about production. What are the limits? What are the limits that capitalism sets for it on production? What limits does it set on production? None.
Go ahead.
Zero. Mm-hmm. It doesn't set any limits for itself. It needs to produce as much as possible as long as their profits be. And in fact, that's why so many things get, that's why we have a bunch of tomatoes, potatoes sitting there getting used. That's why you have such a bunch of milk sitting there.
I completely agree.
Then understand this, that the reason we have a consumption society is because society is organized around almost infinite production.
So I would like for you to both tell me, socialists, then, in a socialist society, what would it look like? Would there be a limit to consumerism?
Yes, of course. Not a limit to consumerism. There's a limit to production. We would decide how much we need to make based on what we needed.
If that would be the case in a socialist society, then I'm for that. But I don't see when that is coming anytime soon. And if it comes, I would have fun. No. But currently, as we are in this current state, this planet could not sustain us.
Wait, Eduardo, so say you have more time, you know, you better your work conditions. This is on the way to this socialist society. You can better your conditions. You don't have to work as long. Maybe you can work 4 days and make a living, have a house, have healthcare. You enjoy nature. You reconnect with nature. Because I would argue that the people in Africa and Asia, in Latin America, they have a better relationship than we have with nature because they live closer to it. So if we start gaining that...
A lot of people don't live in nature. That there's a percentage now. Most people live in cities today. You're right that anyone would enjoy nature.
But they have... They still... Even if they live in cities, they have a better understanding, I would say, of nature than we do. So we think we do, but...
Who has a better understanding?
In this industrial world, the North, the economic North. So if you start interacting with nature... If you start seeing the value in that thing, if you no longer have to just be focusing on survival, on having two jobs, on getting a car and driving, you know, maybe you will start to change things. That's where the control comes. So it's not about kids. It's about capitalism in the fundamentals of it. And we will never start changing. You're right. We will never start changing it unless we answer these questions, you know. And we would not even start road to that if we start keep engaging on BS, you know, reformist bullshit.
And the problem is, hold on, last thing, Eduardo, is the mistake that population people make is they're connecting consumption to population. And they're independent of one another. The consumption we are doing today, the production we are doing today is not dependent because the production isn't made to meet people's needs. It's made for profit, like you said. So... By getting confused and throwing population is, it means you don't understand why capitalism produces. It doesn't produce for human need. It produces for profit.
I agree.
It doesn't.
I agree.
But then population is not the issue. The problem is the production method, the production process, and it's disconnected from the human needs of society.
But to this point, I do agree with you, Eduardo, that, you know, the incentive of capitalists is to create markets, to make markets, to tap markets, to create consumers. So in that sense, we face a danger. Yes, if the rest of the world starts consuming like the U.S., we are deeply fucked. We need four Earths. I agree with you on that. But it comes back to capitalism. So capitalism doesn't create those consumers.
Again, this planet is not able to sustain the consumerist culture that is pervasive alongside the high rate of birth rates. That is my point, and I'm stating it over and over again because people are going to try to use that, and I agree with everything you both have said, and I'm talking about the current state, and there is no socialist society right now. That's why I was asking. That is putting us up to this production that... To hinder the consumption that we are using on the resources of this planet. And until it happens, and I hope it happens, really, I do, because I fear for this planet's destruction of this environment. I hope it happens, but really, just this planet is not able to sustain people and the population that is happening today with the consumer culture that exists today. So I know that both of you are tackling other points, but I don't know where we're, maybe we're not aligned somewhere, some way. But I love you both, but honestly, I'm going to say it because someone has to say it, and you both don't agree with it, but I'm just saying it in this way. People are going to cut clips of me and use me and try to mischaracterize me. It's all right. That's why I have to repeat myself for my defense.
If I said to the state, then you will be safe. Don't become a threat to the state, because even if you say good things how you mean them, they will still take it and manipulate it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
All right.
But
anyhow, I want you both to challenge it. I want you both to come after me. I welcome it, because I think it's if people are going to, maybe I'm not presenting it in a way, but if people, that is what I'm trying to communicate, but if people are going to use my words against me, and people are going to, use what I'm saying and misunderstand what I'm saying, they need to hear what you both are saying to challenge any notions of whatever thing that they think I'm trying to say, that it is not actually about people. It is about capitalism. And that is where I do agree with you both. Except there is no socialism right now. And I'm afraid for this planet. And given what is happening today, it's impossible to keep up.
But
things are slow.
We can agree that, well, maybe, the Green New Deal of reformism, it ain't going to be the way we're saying.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
We did do a Green New Deal episode on it, and I agree, Kenny, you're right. Again, that's why I wanted to discuss about transitions, and maybe this is a segue there. You know, what is then a renewable energy that we can rely on? Because coal, nuclear power, wind power, energy, solar energy, what is then the energy that we look towards?
But that's, I think that maybe Lipson would say this. I'm getting in Lipson's head here. That is not even, the question is not even that.
That's correct.
Because the technology will be there. It's about power. It's about capitalism. It's about workers having control. You know,
is the energy source, though? What energy source do we turn to? What do socialists turn to then?
Eduardo, it's going to be fossil fuels. It's going to be hydroelectrics. It's going to be methane. It's going to be coal. All those. All right? The fact is that the thing that humans are going to have to deal with, if we have,
that's what socialists are going to be using. That doesn't sound very.
We need energy. That's the case. But
yes, Neil, I'm not sure if I want to hop onto this train now.
But then, so you don't understand them, because this is that everyone needs energy to survive. Like, not
right?
We don't need energy to just be consumers, but we do need energy to produce food, to produce homes, all these sorts of things. We need energy to move. Do we have to use them in the way that we use it? No, but that's what capitalism decides. But if you put it under human use, and humans don't just need to survive. Part of surviving is being able to live on the planet. So we will decide collectively with the billions of people who live, other than with the capitalist push to decide, how we can do this. But if it's going to have to happen quickly and shortly, so we're not going to have any new technologies that are suddenly there that make it all happen without some sort of CO2 that's put into the air, or without some sort of sulfur dioxide that's produced. There's going to be dirty shit around this. It's going to be dirty, okay? But it's put under human use. It's put on the basis of human need. And that means, and one of our human needs is to be able to sustain ourselves on this planet together. So that will be an issue that's going to have to be decided by those of us who make this revolution. And the longer we get, the people I'm worried about are not the people having kids, it's the people getting stuck on voting. The people I'm worried about are not the people having like 12 kids, it's the people who think that the Democratic Party is the way out of this problem. Those people are far more threatening to this, to the future, than anybody having kids in Africa. And that is our biggest challenge, is to get people to understand that we have to get out of that thing, that whole thing of thinking we're reforming our system. That's in the United States, I mean. And we have to make a revolution happen. We're the ones who have the biggest responsibility of taking on this issue, because our country happens to be the biggest promoter of these things that are going to like destroy the will make the, it's not going to destroy the planet, make the planet very difficult to stay and have, you know, to inhabit. So I don't think we can pretend that there's some sort of magic wand, but I do believe under a social society, there's going to be less production. Like, I mean, overall, I don't think it makes sense the level of production we have. And we're going to be producing...
So under a socialist society, there still will be pollution.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. We're going to need it soon. And we haven't figured out how to not produce pollution. I don't think we're doing it anytime soon. So, yes.
That's very encouraging.
Well, yeah, it is. People need...
¿Qué te ríes, Kenny?
I mean, you're talking about reducing pollution, and we just told you that there will probably be, you know, a reduction in production because we won't produce just to overproduce, because that's what capitalism does. And so that's not enough.
I mean, Eduardo, look at this one.
I'm simply stating what I feel. Like, I feel that this is not the world I look forward to.
There's going to be fossil fuels used, even like you saw with solar energy. We're not going to just suddenly go to like a pure solar energy people or something like that. It doesn't even exist. That world doesn't exist. So the fact is that now one thing you can say is that the U.S. military actually uses twice as much fuel per year as all the drivers in the on the planet or on the United States, right? So that you can get rid of that, something like that. But I also think we can get a lot of the driving, all right? But even if there are electric cars, that doesn't answer the question. Because as this documentary pointed out, underneath electric production is fossil fuel, boiling water. You can do it with nuclear power. Or a lot of times you have to boil water with something that heats something up. That's coal, that's natural gas, that's ethanol, biomass, things like that. So if you need to boil water to produce electricity, which is generally what you need to do to get a turbine going, other than a hydroelectric or a solar, or a wind one, which just doesn't produce enough, you're going to produce greenhouse gases. You're going to produce pollution.
So to begin to find the solutions, we have to tackle capitalism because it will hinder us from, for example, developing mass transit, you know, that is more beneficial to all of us. Because we know that they have an incentive to create societies like Los Angeles, you know, that where people were fucking, you know, driving everywhere, and look at them now, you know. So capitalism has created a world for capitalism. And so we will have to reconstruct our world.
Yeah.
But capitalism will not let you do that. You can try it all you want. You can try to reform it. You can try to believe that, you know, capitalism will produce some beneficials. No, they won't care. Profit is their motive. And it doesn't align with life. And that's what we're saying. We want to prioritize life, not profit. And that will change the way we think about things, with things we don't even know yet. But we have to address capitalism before we even believe to answer those questions. You know, and I'm not saying don't stop, you know, the researching and stop doing that. But we know, you know, a lot of good research, you know, it's intellectual property of, you know, the capitalists. You know, the patent system is so bullshit. In that film, just to bring it back to the film, Vandana Shiva, you know, she's a great environmentalist from India. She talks about the patent system. If you go look for her on YouTube, she grills fucking what's his name, Microsoft, Bill Gates. She fucking destroys that fucker because of how he's made wealth from a patent system that we know the patent system, you know, because it's private property, you know, it hinders, you know, issues in healthcare, in better technologies. And that fucker is talking about, you know, a better world, but when he himself is part of the problem, you know. So we have to address capitalism. That's not my point. We can get into the nuance of things. And there are people, and I believe that if we free people from, you know, the slavery of, you know, destitution, you know, or having not having a home, you know, healthcare and all these things, we can prioritize life. And people who want to be scientists will be scientists because they love it, not because they, you know, they're going to be, they want a bigger house.
I agree with both of you about tackling capitalism. I do think that we need to start not later, but sooner, to look even in this current state that we have. I think that we can do both, where we have to start looking at energy sources that are sustainable. And so I think that that could then be used when the socialist system comes into place. So I just think that there shouldn't be any suspension of studies into renewable sources.
What I'm saying is liberate those scientists so they do it for, because a lot of people do it for the benefit of, they mean well, but they live in a capitalist system that where they're tied. They're tied up.
Yeah. Technology will be used to enslave us, not to liberate us under capitalism. And the technologies that get developed under capitalism will tend to be the ones that keep capital in power. So as long to believe that there's going to be some sort of magic bullet produced while under capitalism misunderstands the role of science and technology under capitalism. It is used as something to subordinate nature and labor to the capitalist interest. So we need a revolution to even have the ability to have not just a freer use, a freer system of what we produce and how we produce it, but even how, the things we develop. Because right now we've everything is constrained by the capitalists and by that system for its own uses.
If I understand correctly, though, you two were criticizing Bill McKibben and the documentary, and praising the documentary for exposing these renewable energy sources for how, if I understand it correctly, where these energy sources still depend on fossil fuels and is actually revelatory on how environmentalists champion these energy sources, but it's very hypocritical.
Yeah.
Yet you two would then still as well as some of these people that were listed in these documentary sources would still also use fossil fuels or some of this technology that does pollute the earth, right?
Yeah. But But let's be clear, like I do think I personally think we will need to have a social, an internationalist working class revolution within the next 10 to 20 years just to keep us from war, like to stop the war that I do see coming, right? Let's say I was right. Then for sure, the technologies that that future social society will use is going to be a technology that, and workers will have to know that the development of solar panels is not an answer to the fossil fuel question. That hydroelectric power, wind power is not an immediate answer. There's no magic thing here. There's still going to be fuels underneath that. That's got to have to be put into our balance sheet when we decide about what we make and how we make it. So what I appreciated about that movie is they demystified it from some sort of like fairy dust that's suddenly going to make everything go better. And that fairy dust doesn't just become fairy dust once we have a social society. But now what we have is a situation where we can put those decisions about what we do and what we make and how we make it under the control of humans, because currently it ain't.
Yeah.
We're still going to fuck shit up, you know? But we will have more flexibility to fix that fuck up, because capitalists don't care. As long as they're making profit, they won't fix that fuck up. Yeah. I think that's the difference. And yeah. And again, the service of technology and production is to serve life, is to serve, you know, us taking care of, you know, the world we live in. You know, and again, it's not a magical bullet. Hell no. There are going to be a lot of mistakes, but you have to remove the profit incentive from the equation, or, you know, the equation stays basically the same.
And not just mistakes, but I mean, people probably who play video games know this. Balancing, when you have multiple things you're trying to produce, balancing the various interests of what you're trying to do, so that you are going to have to say, well, there's some pollution that's going to be produced by this, but here's what's going to be a result of that pollution. And so those balancing interests are ones that humans are going to have to get control of. And we're going to have to be the ones that try to decide how do we balance the production of pollution in order to produce houses or to get food to people versus the fact that we might have to lower the amount of food we have or lower the number of houses because of that pollution problem. That we need to put that question under human control.
And we would probably have to come with a different set of economics, you know, to serve life, just, you know, not capitalism. That we will still have to be creative. you know, we don't have all the answers, but the obvious thing is that we have to tackle capitalism to begin to answer all these things.
I would say that people should watch Planet of the Humans and make their own mind.
It's good. It has flaws. And, okay, we probably should wind down, but I had a huge problem with the ending. That was just unnecessary. Like, you know, that hurt so
Oh,
Supreme
my
Court.
God, yeah.
That was 10 minutes. That I was like, you know, that poor orangutan, and, you know, it's like, if, you
oh,
know,
oh, yeah, I remember now, yeah.
I mean, Hema made that point, like, we happened to watch that together, and she said, if your arguments stand on their own, you don't need to fucking shove, you know, suffering porn down people's throat.
Yeah, and the fact that they couldn't, like, the fact that it somehow it had to be an orangutan, it was just weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
just to, like, I think the idea was to, like, make you, like, you know, identify with, you know, your humanity with this animal. That's what I thought they were trying to do.
It shows how messed up we already are that they couldn't imagine a story like that that shows humans. Like, this guy, I don't know, that, I agree with you, that ending, and I've heard people saying, oh, I was crying, I was like, I just felt like it was manipulative. I was like,
yeah. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Just, you know, again, reading about some of the criticism of this movie, I found it very, like, a lot of the criticism was on technical stuff, you know, not on the big questions.
Yes.
And yes. I was like, oh my God, that's just petty. It's like when you're losing an argument and, you know, you just start, oh, you have an ugly nose, you know, like.
Yeah,
I agree. I was feeling a little bit that this is going back to one of our first points in the very beginning of this discussion, that this is the sort of conversations that we need to have in our community. And it is just challenging to have, even me feeling like this is threatening for me to share what some thoughts I have, even though we could evolve and change our positions. I do think that we need to allow for dialogue to happen. And this film shows the ferociousness of the left to cancel out folks if you're not in alignment with them, which I think ultimately you will then consume yourself. You know, you're not necessarily, you're just hindering your own cause and the people in your cause because you're just killing yourself. And I should, again, make a very, very clear statement that I'm not targeting African people or Latin American people.
Right.
Those countries happen to be some of the poorest, Africa is a continent. But the countries within Africa happen to be some of the poorest, not because of the color of their skin, but because of the massive oppression and exploitation that has happened in those countries. And so when I was referring to Africa, I was referring to the poverty, not the color of their skin.
Yeah.
And the poverty is because of the history that that continent has, is what I was referring to, just the poverty. And I was talking about the poverty that exists amongst working class people. And that's what I wanted to make sure, that I want to be clear on that. And if you both still have a comment to say about what I'm saying, go ahead. I just want to clear up that for our audience and viewers. I in no way believe that African people are the cause of our environmental problems. Nor do I believe that Mexican people or white people, whoever, I say that poverty is tied to high fertility rates. And that is a fact. And with our consumerist culture, that's where this is controversial now, where you both may not agree. With our consumerist culture, it will just only consume so many resources that we don't have this planet to sustain.
I don't agree with the, it doesn't matter about the population thing. I would just say that those things do need to be, these are things on people's minds. And
that's what I was going to say.
The left is going to have to deal with the fact that there's a lot of different viewpoints about how we're going to deal with this problem. So all these different ideas are going to have a space to be brought into the pot to be sorted out. So there's no way to just say that idea has to go. We will cancel the idea. It's not about canceling the idea. It's like you said, it's about canceling the people saying it, and that's the problem.
I see. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, the issue of revolution is just like thrown out the window on the left.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. It wasn't mentioned in the documentary. Not once did they talk about capitalism in that sense, that you both talk about it.
Yeah, they didn't go far enough to make a condemnation, you know, complete condemnation. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Anything else?
I think that's it. I appreciate the chance. I'm glad we saw the movie, and I think Eduardo, you were the one who initially mentioned it, and I'm glad we took the time to look at it.
I just wanted to, because again, Hema happened to watch this episode with me. She asked me to make a point about, you know, green capitalist wars, and to bring up Bolivia. You know, one of the incentives to get rid of that government is to access one of the biggest reserves of lithium in the world.
Yeah.
Just
all right. So I guess that does it for this week's episode. What's Left is a weekly political podcast/channel challenging the mainstream left. We post information about our topics and our guests on the episode notes wherever you found this episode, or on our blog at what-s-left.webno.com. You can find past episodes to this podcast/channel there and connect with us. I remind folks, if you like anything that you have heard here, please share your favorite episode, or rate, review, and subscribe to any of our 5 platforms on iTunes Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, BitChute, or YouTube. And if you would like to give us feedback about something you've heard, or suggest something for us to cover, please contact us through our blog. I'm Eduardo Valco with Andy Lipson and Kenny Cepeda. Thank you all for this wonderful. I really like being with you too. It's really, really good.
It's good to see you both.
All right, that does it. Wash your hands and be safe. Ciao.
Take care.